For tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, November 27th, 1993. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
Irma, come on in here for whatever you're going to do and say, and then Dr. Noel, when you get through, or Dr. Noel will come here and relieve you.
Praise the Lord. Did you all have a good men's deliverance service down here? Did the men need deliverance? Of course you do. We had a wonderful deliverance service upstairs with the ladies. You men won't know how to live with your wives when they go home. How many women were delivered up there today or yesterday? Let's see your hands. Put them up high now. You can just testify to the... Let the devil see how many people were delivered. We worked on curses today. How many know about curses? Well, we got some booklets that will help you. One of them is Breaking Free by Steve Bell. It's all about curses. We haven't had much teaching in our churches about curses, but we're all under curses, whether you want to believe it or not. And you need to study about this and start praying about it. And there's scriptures in here, and they're wonderful. And thank you. And when you read these, you know, well, you may say, well, I read the Bible. Well, so do I. But I get a lot of teaching out of books if they're anointed. And Brother Bell is an anointed speaker. Now, there's an old book back there called War on the Saints. If you think Satan's not making war on the saints, you're not tuning in to what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, because the minute the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, Satan begins to move. The evil spirits begin to move. And you might not think you need deliverance, but I'm sorry, everybody in here needs deliverance. I got to tell it like it is. You may be so super spiritual, that doesn't make any difference. You still need more deliverance, because can you go downtown and say to the cripples and to the... Go in the cancer ward and say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, be healed. We got a four-piece to go yet. We've come a long ways in God, but we need more. How many believe you need more? We need more of the Holy Ghost and more of the evil powers out of us. The more the evil goes out, the more the Holy Ghost can come in. And I know it's spooky, and a lot of people don't come to the deliverance services. This is a deliverance camp, and as long as Glenn and I have breath, we're going to do what the Lord has told us to do. That's why we came here. Otherwise, we'd be out in California, probably retired from the aerospace industry and rocking our grandchildren and making cookies. But that's not what the Lord has called us to do. Now, Derek Prince has written a tremendous book. Derek prayed for us, came to our home, and broke curses over us. And he's written this book called Blessings Are Cursed, and it is an excellent book. Freedom from the pressures you thought you had to live with. We do not have to live with all these pressures all the time. And God has made a way. Jesus has made a way for us. And that is an excellent book. Mary Garrison, who's been here, and she's written this book on how to try a spirit. And she goes through all the different... strong man's. It is excellent. The perverse spirit. And she goes right down where everything under that, using scripture, spirits of jealousy. Jealous women or jealous men. How miserable can you get when you're jealous? And under jealousy comes murder and anger and rage and wrath and revenge and spite and hate and cruelty and suspicion and coveting and competition, emulation, selfishness, all these spirits. And she has scriptures for everything. And then there's one on infirmities. Oh, my. Hunchbacks, frail, maladies, colds, fever. Do you think the Lord is the author of the Beijing flu or cancer? all these viruses, funguses, asthma, sinus, hay fever, arthritis. No, the devil is behind all that. You might think, well, the devil isn't behind everything that's bad. Oh, yes, he is. I hate to tell you, but it's the truth. I haven't lived 70-some years for nothing. I've learned a few things along the way by my own experiences. Spirits of heaviness, all the grief and mourning and sorrow and despair. We've had a lot of that this week, and we've prayed for people, and they've been really helped. Thank the Lord for dumb and deaf spirits. Now, you might think that's just dumbness and deafness, but it has to do with a lot of other things, spiritual things. Not being able to remember the Word of God is one. Spirits of fear, that is the most tormenting thing you can ever believe. Fear, if you've got fear. Spirits of bondages, all kinds of anguish and bondages and despair. All these books are all tremendous. You might say, well, I read the Bible. Well, I do too, but I sure get a lot out of these books because these people have walked through most of these things. We have, Glenn and I have walked through a lot of deliverance ourselves. And then Brother Frank Mazzulla, isn't he going to be here Christmas camp? I don't know.
No, he'll be here
in the spring or something, 4th of July. Anyway, he's written this manual that is just really excellent for our deliverance people. We've known him. He's been down in Florida with Brother Prince. We met him years ago in Georgia, and he prayed for me once. He was walking up down the aisle, and he was coming against fear of your husband. I thought, well, that's kind of silly. And he walked over, and he said, come out of her, you fear of her husband. And, it came out. You know, we need authority, and you can't get authority unless you get delivered. You can only have so much of the Holy Spirit, and then you've got to have authority over these evil spirits. And they're getting bigger and badder all the time. Bigger demons, but more of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the book I taught out of today, and it raised quite a ruckus up there, didn't it, girls? Well, I like to see the devil scream and run out, leave people. These are all on curses, generational curses. They come down the family line. And we inherit them in our bloodline. And the devil studies you. He knows exactly when he can pounce on you, when you get a weak spot, when you're sick or something. And we went into idolatry and all kinds of sexual sins, incest, homosexuals, children dishonoring their parents, and all these things. There's 37 here listed from the book of Deuteronomy, I believe. And this is a wonderful book by Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. And I was in St. Louis the day they got their first deliverance coming out of the Baptist church. Was it Denver? Anyway, one of those full gospel conventions. And they have just come out with some wonderful books. They have, what's that other one? Pigs in the Parlor, but they have about 7 books back there. I think we got most of them. Anyway, avail yourself of these books, because when you get out of here and get more rested and you sit down and start to read, you can see. And then you need to make a little list of the things the Holy Spirit is showing you and then start praying about it. Now, you can get self-deliverance, but it's harder than having somebody else pray for you. But the main thing, first prerequisite, would be repenting, first of all. And when you repent, that little pocket of sin is in there, and the blood of Jesus starts flowing down over that. Satan doesn't like that, and he will usually leave at the first command. Now, somebody said, well, it takes 7 hours to get a demon out. No, 7 minutes if you've got enough authority. It takes authority. Yeah, less than that, Glenn says. 7 seconds. One time we was riding down the road in our Winnebago, and we'd been to a deliverance service, and it's been years ago, and I was laying in the back. I'd run the book tables, and I was real tired. I was laying in the back on the bed, and all of a sudden, right out of my mouth, this spirit said, I want out. So I sat up on the edge of the couch, and I said, well, come out. He said, you won't let me operate through you anymore. I don't like it in here. I want out. I said, go in the name of Jesus. And he left. You know how much authority all of you have? In the name of Jesus. That name of Jesus is going to drive them out. The blood of Jesus is going to cleanse these sin's pockets in you. And then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness and cleanses our mind, our brains. He's working through mind control, the enemy is. And then when you start repenting and the blood of Jesus starts coming down over your heart, and you command them to go in the name of Jesus, they have to obey you. You've got a lot of authority. You've got lots more authority than you know. Why? Because Jesus has the authority and he lives in you. He lives in you. And you need to use your authority. Use it. Try it once. You might get excited about what happens. You know, at first we're all sort of screamish about evil spirits and fear and demons and all of that. But I'm telling you, get to hate them. If you start hating the devil, he won't be too happy to live in you. He will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he has to flee. That's the scripture. That's the scripture. Now, Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Is God with you? Yes. We just have to use our authority. Speak. Speak to him. He doesn't like to be exposed. He hates to be exposed. We came against all kind. Oh, Glenn, you ought to have been up there. We'd have really got to. You would. Oh, my land, you get a bunch of women praying for you. These women are prayer warriors. And we came against strife in the home and divorce in the home and abortion and well, what else, girls? Curses, all kinds of curses. We did a lot. We had a few minutes and we did it fast. But sleep, oh yeah, insomnia, diseases of all kinds. Oh my, you've got so much authority if you only take that authority in the name of Jesus. Is that right, Robert? Robert knows. You know, we've known Robert since he's a little kid. He's grown up and got old, got married, got kids. And now we must be getting older, Bob. We love the Camerons. I'd like to just keep him here all the time. I just love for him to play and sing. And the whole family. You ought to hear them when they all get together. And you've never really lived, you ladies, until you've cooked for the whole Cameron family. Right? Oh, yeah, they love those baked potatoes and that fried chicken. Oh, you name it, they love it. And I like to cook. I really do like to cook. I'd rather cook than not cast out demons. I'd rather cast out demons than cook. You know, we have to learn. Just try it. You'll like it, won't the doctor know? Just try and see what authority you've got in you. You've got it. You've got Jesus. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, what more would we want? What more would we want? We've got everything in Jesus Christ. And a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in demons. Well, I'm sorry, I do. Now, I lived, my dad was an Assembly of God preacher, and I saw a lot of things happen in early Pentecost and back from 1932 on, and I didn't know what was causing the problem. But once I heard the first sermon on deliverance, I knew it was real. I knew that's what made the deacon beat up his wife. I knew that what's caused the divorces in our churches and all kinds of fornication and things that went on in early Pentecost, which was terrible. And I wanted deliverance. And I started praying. You ought to have seen me. I mean, I can get with things when I really believe in. When Glenn would go downtown, because he said no Christian can have a demon, and he would argue with me. So I said, I'm full of them. But I said, and so are you. So that didn't go over too good. He'd go to town, and I'd close up. We live in Southern California, and I'd close up all the front of the house. I'd get out in the hall, a long hall, ranch-style house, and I'd close up everything, and I'd walk up and down, and I'd praise the Lord, and then I'd command these demons to leave me. And in the meantime, sometime about halfway through, I might have to run to the bathroom. There was one at the end of the hall, and upchuck them. And now you may think that's funny, but the word cast out means to breathe out, give a quick jerk, and vomit. We've got a lot of debris in us. That's what makes us sick, the results of the enemy. And we've got a lot to learn. But if you've ever been in the delivery room, it's not very pretty in there when all the travail is going on and all of that going on. But I'm telling you, once that baby is born, you forget all of that. And once you get delivered, you're going to be so happy. Now, Oh, for the few days after I was prayed for the first time, all those curses were broken off of me, or I thought they were all. Of course, I learned there was a lot more. But I would go through my house praising God. I was making strawberry preserves, and I was praising God and having a glorious time in my house. And you can praise God and dance in your home before the Lord. I love to be home by myself in the daytime, maybe for an hour or two. Not at night. I want Glenn around there. Too many people come and knock at our door at night. But I love the quietness of the Holy Spirit, don't you? I love the holy presence of the Lord. I love the presence of the Lord in this camp meeting. I don't want to ever be here. If the Holy Ghost leaves, I'm leaving too. But I'm telling you, you're all beautiful. And the more we praise, the more we get Jesus loving in us, the more we can love people that need help. You know, sinners need help, but Christians need help too. The things that are happening to Christians, sometimes I just hold my head when I get these phone calls. And I go home and I say to Glenn, oh, I've had a hard day today. I'm too tired. I have prayed for so many people over the phone today. But, you know, the Lord gives you strength. Now, we're old. Some of you, yes, you are. Well, in numbers we are. No. See how he makes me go on and on and on. It keeps you young. The Lord keeps you young. He really does. But you think you can't come to church and sit an hour or 2 hours or pray 2 hours? Oh, come on. Come on. Now, when you get sick, oh, man, you're on the phone calling us or calling. We've got a cartoon, and there's this big demon walking through, and this woman is there, and there's a sign. A little guy is walking by and says, call Glenn and Irma, because this demon is over. We get lots of phone calls. We pray over the phone a lot. But I mean, all of us, all of you now, have had enough teaching that you can start praying. Pray for us. You say, Glenn and I don't need prayer? See, he's under some kind of attack now. And we get attacked, sure. We're not. Jesus was attacked, wasn't he? Wasn't he? And tried and tested? Sure. And he had that group of disciples. What one didn't do, the other one did, to cause him problems with Judas and with Peter, James, and John fighting over who's going to sit by him in the throne and all of these things, see. And we all go through all these things too, but we need your prayers and you need our prayers. Now, all of you that are new, as I pray, one by one, many times your faces will come up before me in my mind's eye, and then I'll know the Lord wants me to pray for you, because the battle is on. We're in war, spiritual war. Now, when you go home, you may just feel horrible, and you're going to have to pray, and we're going to be praying for you. The Holy Spirit will show us when you need prayer, and don't be ashamed to call up and ask somebody to pray for you, because we can't win this battle alone. And they don't send soldiers to the front line that aren't experienced, do they? In a regular army. And we all are in the army of the Lord. Amen. And whether you believe in deliverance or not, whether you want to believe it or not, if you've been called as a soldier in the Lord's army, then you better learn how to war and fight. You can war in your own house. Spiritual warfare. We got books back there on spiritual warfare. We got books back there on everything. If you don't want to read the Bible, get some of those books. They're wonderful. I read them all the time. Every time a new one comes out, Tommy's got new ones back there, and Brother Tromley's got now see, he was a Jehovah's Witness, you know. He had to be delivered from that. I had to be delivered from an Assembly of God spirit, because I thought we were the only ones going to heaven. Oh, my land. That was a terrible spirit in me. I don't know if you all, the Baptists, all think they're the only ones. And the Catholics think they're the only ones. But you see, we all need help. One day we got to praying for nationalities. We were praying against the spirits that come in German people and Scandinavian people and Italian people. They all have their little nests of categories. And we had a tremendous time up in, we have good times up in the ladies' meetings. I mean, the women get with it, don't they? We really get with it. If you're going to fight and be in the battle, let's get with it. Okay, now what am I supposed to do, Glenn? Doc, come up here and take my place, please, doctor. He takes care of little kids all during the week. And he comes down here and takes care of us children. Have you got something good today?
Turn yourself on, Doc.
This is my water. I'll take it with me.
Good evening. As I was praying upstairs after lunch and asking the Lord what he wanted me to talk about, he said he wanted me to talk about sexual sin. And that's a large subject. I wanted first to give you some definitions. The definition in the New King James, in the King James Bible, you will see frequently is a word called fornication. Now, we talked about fornication yesterday some. And then you'll see one that says adultery. Now, fornication, as defined by Webster's Unabridged Dictionary, is voluntary sexual intercourse between unmarried men and women. Adultery is sexual intercourse between a woman, a married woman, and a man that is not her husband, or a married man and a woman who is not his wife. All adultery is fornication, but not all fornication is adultery. God feels rather strongly about it. Open your books to 1 Thessalonians 4. I don't ever hear this scripture talked about very much, but I wish all of you would open your Bibles and look at it, because it has some profound implications, starting with verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication, porneia, sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the heathen who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother or sister in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned and testified. For God did not call you to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, let's go back and look at that. He said that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Now, that word is porneia, which means all sexual immorality. I mean, that word covers everything. It covers homosexuality. It covers bestiality. It covers incest. It covers oral genital sex. It covers pornography. It covers lust. It covers it all. But you should abstain from that. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification. Sanctification means holiness. To be sanctified means to be made holy. So that if you engage in this, you defile your body and honor, not in the passion of lust. Now, most of what we call love today that is spoken of by the TV set and by the contemporary society, most of what they call love is lust.
Right.
It's based on lust.
Right.
Based on the passion of lust. Almost all advertisement is based on lust. Lust is hard to get away from in our temporary society. Everywhere you go, you'll see things pointed at arousing in you sexual lust as a way to sell things, as a way to get your interest, to sell their particular program, sell their particular product. And it is seductive. It is called the Bible in Ephesians says, a deceitful lust. And you have been corrupted by the deceitful lust. It's deceitful, folks. It's like creeping corruption just a little bit to start with. But it just grows on you. And before you know, it's got a good hold on you. And you can't get away from it. You're serving it. That no one should take advantage of and defraud. Did you know that when you lust after someone,
or when you have sex with them, you're defrauding them. That's what it says. For the Lord is the avenger. Any of y'all ever had God as your avenger? I mean, how would you like to have God chasing you? Huh? It says right here, God is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. Now, this isn't the Old Testament. This is the New Testament. Now, I believe that there's, you know, I personally believe it's all one book, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. But some people make a difference between the New Covenant, the New Testament, and the Old Testament. And so I show that this is written in, this is First Thessalonians we're talking about. God is the avenger of all such. And if you reject it, you reject God. If you reject this teaching, you're rejecting God. Well, there are lots of others I can look at, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. Just one other one. I think we covered this yesterday, but let's look at it again. 1 Corinthians 6:16. When I start teaching, sometimes I get away from my notes and I don't know what I covered and what I didn't. 1 Corinthians 6:16 says, "Don't you know, he that is joined to a harlot is one body with her, for the two shall become one flesh, and he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit in him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside his body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Your body doesn't belong to you. Do you know that, folks? That this body does not belong to you. People say, "I can do what I want to, and my own body is not hurting anybody but me," and you don't realize you don't own that body. Jesus bought and paid for it with his blood. Another interesting thing to that is, if he is your landlord. You know, under your lease, your landlord is responsible for maintenance on the apartment. And Jesus is responsible for all the maintenance on your body, for by his stripes you have been healed. And when you get sick or your body gets torn down, you need to call the landlord and say, "Send the repair crew down." And that's not down at the local hospital. I mean, God, you know, I'm in a peculiar situation here. I'm in a peculiar situation. I believe that Jesus Christ can heal any way he wants to. I feel he made your body, and he made all the healing mechanisms in it. And without his grace, they never would have found penicillin to cure the great pox. But I think that he says when you get sick, you're supposed to call the elders of the church and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith will raise you up. I think you ought to be going to the doctor as a last resort. I think you ought to be calling Jesus, on Dr. Jesus first, because he is the great physician. The great preacher Smith Wigglesworth said in 1940, "It is getting very difficult to heal anyone by faith now. There are too many alternatives." There are too many alternatives. People will lean on their doctor, they will lean on medicine before they will lean on God. And Smith, that was a very interesting statement for Smith. Because all of you know that Smith had a rather radical ministry, but he healed. God was uniquely used him to heal a great number of people. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Well, your body is not your own. You don't have a right. Now let's look at Proverbs. First, you know, we looked yesterday at Revelations, and it said that I wanted to look at one other place in Corinthians. I wanted to show you what kind of company you're in when you're a fornicator. Let me see if I can find that, Lord. Look in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. I wanted to show you what kind of company you're in as a fornicator. Look up at verse 9. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals." And that word there for homosexual is catamite, which is a person who submits to homosexual intercourse, generally a small boy. And then it says sodomites, Now, those sodomites, if you look that word up in Webster's New International Dictionary, that covers bestiality, oral genital sex, and homosexual sex of various sorts, nor thieves, nor covetousness. People who covet, man, they're in good company, aren't they? Nor drunkards, nor revilers. Reviler, that's somebody that screams and yells and bad mouths all the time. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of heaven. That's the kind of company you're in. How many of you folks have ever been in that company? And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of Jesus by the Spirit of God. What Paul's saying is that some of the Corinthians fell in that group. But God delivered them and cleaned them.
Hallelujah.
I just want you to see what kind of company you're in. There, that's a... Now let's look over at Revelation 21, 8. 21:7 says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their place in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God feels very strongly about fornicators and whoremongers. He feels very strongly about homosexuals. He feels very strongly about people who lust, also about people who covet, who revile, and who are idolaters. Let's turn to Proverbs now. Let's look at Proverbs 6 first. Proverbs 6:32. "Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul." Committing of adultery will destroy your soul. Something happens to your soul during adultery. Okay? Now, the Hebrew word there for soul is nephah. Now, let's look on down in chapter 7. You really need to read all of 1 through 17, but we won't read that today. And it's the story of a adulteress who stands on the street side, and she attracts a young man into her house, and with flattering eyes and an enticing words, she draws him in. And look under verse 22. Well, we'll start with verse 1. "With her enticing speech, she calls him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Until an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would take his life." And that word life there is nephah, soul. Same word used in 32 as soul. It means it takes his soul. There is a deposition of soul material there, and in witchcraft, portions of the soul can be taken. You can show that in Ezekiel. But in sexual immorality, you lose part of your soul. It destroys your soul. And ties are formed in the spirit world. The pastor's wife brought a young girl to me about a year ago who was in sexual immorality with her boss at the cafe in which she worked. It was a high-class restaurant. And he would call her on the phone. She knew it was wrong. She was a spirit-filled Christian. She knew it was a sin. But yet, when he called her, she would fight. But just like when I used to quit smoking and I'd lay my cigarettes over there on there, they just seemed to draw me over there. And she would be drawn, and by a couple hours, she'd be over there in bed with him. And she'd say, "This is wrong." And she had a soul tie that drew her in. We prayed to break the soul tie. I remember we prayed for her, and I saw her. We prayed about 3 o'clock, and I saw her about 7 that night. I was having supper with the pastor and his wife at the restaurant. She came up, And she said, I want you to know that 5 o'clock the manager called me and said, you just make me sick. I just wish he'd get you a new job. I don't want to see you again. I said, well, praise God. Are you going to get a new job? She said, yes. This is my last night. But she had been released. And all we did was pray and break the soul tie. Praise you, Lord Jesus. And we look in Proverbs 5, verse 9. This is the price of adultery. He says, do not go near the door of a house. Verse 8. Remove your way far from her. Do not go near the door of a house. Verse 9. Lest you give your honor or vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth or strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at last you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. That's the price of adultery, of fornication. Sexual immorality will bring back all the curses listed in Deuteronomy. Usually Brother Glenn reads those for us. But I want you to look at Acts 15. There was a meeting in Jerusalem about 51 A.D. in which they had an argument over how much of the Jewish law applied to the believers who had come out of the heathen world. And so they had a meeting. And some people commanded that they had to be circumcised and obey the entire Mosaic law before they could be baptized as Christians. And so Paul got rather upset over this, and so they had a meeting. And if you want to read about it, it's in chapter 15. And Barnabas and Paul testified, Peter testified, and then James got up and testified and gave a prophecy. In verse 18, after the prophecy, he says, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those who among the Gentiles who are turning to God, that we should write to them, they should abstain from things polluted by idols, from porneo, from things strangled, and from blood. And then on verse 28, in the letter it said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. I won't get on to blood and things strangled. You should not eat things containing blood. It brings you under the curse of the law. All the curses listed in Deuteronomy 28 come down upon you. If you want to read them, you'll just get tired, get scared. You should get scared. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, we'll start with verse 5 of chapter 10. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, here Paul is talking about the Hebrew nation, when it came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and came into the desert. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We should not become idolaters as they were, for it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit porneo, sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. What's he talking about there? He's talking about when they came out of, and they camped on the plains of Moab. And Balaam had been hired to curse them. And he said he couldn't place a curse on them. He could not place a curse on them. He was a professional sorcerer, and he could not place a curse on them. That's an interesting statement. Let's go to Numbers 25, and let's look at that in the scripture. He was a professional sorcerer that was highly thought of. He was the leader. Numbers 23. He was the leader. Balaam. He was the leading sorcerer. He was at that time considered a true prophet of God. And he came and he told Balaam that he couldn't say anything except what God gave him. So he put a sacrifice up there, and then the word of the Lord came to him on his first oracle, and he says, verse 8, Chapter 23. How can I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I announce whom God has not denounced? From the top of the rocks I see him. From the hills I behold him. There are people dwelling alone, not reckoning himself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob? 1/4 of Israel. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his. That was the first oracle. And then Balak said, what have you done? I told you to curse my enemies and you blessed them. And so they went to another hilltop, built another altar, sacrificed more animals, and he got another oracle. And that one starts at verse 18. Rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He is blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord of his God is with him. The shout of the king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt like he has the strength of a wild ox. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor there is any divination against Israel. Now there he said, I can't curse these people. Why? Because God has not observed iniquity in them. A curse causeless cannot light. You've got no sin in your life, curse won't light on you. Got no sin in your life, curse won't light on you. That's the reason a professional witch is very careful about who they curse. They'll send out a familiar spirit to read you. Look for the sin in your life. They investigate very carefully because there is no sin, the curse won't. Now, any good professional curse caster will tell you that. Okay, well, that's just an aside. Let's go back to Corinthians. Where were we? Praise God. Okay. The thing was, Balaam could not curse them. So what did he do? He told the king, get them involved in sexual immorality and idolatry, and God will curse them. Let's turn to Revelation, and we will find that. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality, or porneia. And you all know that 25,000 died of the plague. And we don't know how many of them got hung, it doesn't say. But Moses took the tribe, and he had them hang everybody who had been. Simeon lost half of its strength. If you compare the numbers of Simeon before they went in, when they went into the desert, and when they got numbered in the new land, they were half strength. Simeon lost a lot of folks. It's a very interesting study. But then there's some other things there too that God doesn't like. He doesn't like murmurers. He doesn't like folks that does not tempt Christ and as some of them tempted and were destroyed by the serpents. What did they do? They were mad at God because they were having to walk around, way around Moab. They wouldn't go through, and they were moaning and complaining against God. Oh, what are we doing in this desert? There ain't no water out here. Oh, Lord, what are we doing this for? We got to walk all this way in this sun. God sent the serpents to bite them. And those, you know the story of the bronze. And then no murmurers. Some of them were murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. What happened there? Well, you all remember that Korah's rebellion. Yes, Korah's rebellion. Korah decided that he could burn incense before the Lord. And some people of other tribes went along with him, and God burned them up with lightning, and all their family and everything. The earth opened up, and their tents fell in, and the earth closed up behind them. So the next morning, Moses was out talking to the people. The folks got mad at Moses. They blamed it on Moses. And they began blaming that Moses had killed God's people. And they were murmuring about it. Murmuring. Bitching at Moses. And so what happened? Moses looked out and the destroyer had gone out. So he told Aaron, quickly, get fire off the altar and put it in your censer and run through the crowd. And he did. And he cut off the plague and he went up to where the incense, the plague came up to where the incense was and stopped. And Aaron ran through the crowd and stopped the destroyer from destroying the children of Israel for complaint. I was teaching this once, and a good friend of mine who's a CPA closed his Bible, and he looked up at me and said, you know what I think, Bill? I said, what's that? He said, God doesn't like a complainer. I said, that's right. He doesn't like a fornicator nor a complainer. Doesn't like somebody who's always unhappy, always complaining, irritated, complaining because things aren't like they think they ought to be. Or things are just a little tough. Going gets a little tough, they get complaining. God doesn't love us anymore. How could a good loving God do this to us? And God doesn't like a complainer. It makes him mad. And in case you're interested, I want you to read the last verse here. Verse 11. Now all these things happen to them as examples, and they are written down for our admonition or instruction, on whom the end of the ages have come. It's written down for our instruction. God doesn't like a fornicator. And so I think that with that, I think we'll stop talking about sexual sin. Let's all stop now and stand up and praise God a little bit. It is said that the brain can only absorb what the fanny can endure. So let's all get up and stretch and get our blood circulating. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, praise Him, folks. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise You and we bless You and we glorify You, Lord. We give thanks to You, Lord, for Your great glory. Glory to You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Now today we're going to come against sexual immorality. We're going to have a mass deliverance, and we're going to talk about, we're going to pray for sexual spirits. We're going to pray for spirits of idolatry. Which I told you yesterday that sexual fornication was an act of worship to the devil. Y'all all can sort of sit down, please. But fornication is an act of worship to the devil. And therefore, fornication is also idolatry. We're going to break some spirits. We're going to break the curse of whoredom, which is covered in Hosea. And that's a very interesting curse. It's through that curse that all types of sexual immorality can come into your lives. Praise You, Lord Jesus. I'm going to lead you through another prayer, not quite as long as the one yesterday, but a little different. Thank You, Lord, for dying for my sins, for Your glorious resurrection, and making me a new creature in Christ by faith in Your precious blood. Dear Lord, I have confessions to make. I've sought supernatural experience apart from You. I've disobeyed Your word. I want You to help me. Renounce all these things. And cleanse me in body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name. I renounce witchcraft. Magic. Ouija boards. All other occult games. I renounce seances. Clairvoyance. Mediums, ESP, second sight and mind reading. I renounce all fortune telling, palm reading, tea leaf reading, crystal balls, tarot, and other card laying. I renounce all astrology and interest in horoscopes. I renounce all heresy. I renounce the heresy, of reincarnation in all healing groups, involved in metaphysics.
Involved in metaphysics.
I renounce all hypnosis.
I break the curse.
Any curse
placed on me
from any occult source.
In Jesus' name.
I renounce all curiosity.
Either future or past.
Which is outside of your will.
I renounce water witching.
Levitation.
Body lifting.
Table tipping.
Psychometric.
Automatic writing.
Automatic.
I renounce astral projection.
And other demonic skills.
I renounce all literature
I've ever read in any of these fields.
And vow I will destroy such books.
In my possession.
Or under my control.
I now break.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
All psychic heredity.
And any demonic hold.
Upon my family line.
As a result of disobedience.
From any of my ancestors.
I also break.
Any bonds.
Of physical or mental illness.
In Jesus' name.
I also break all demonic subjugation.
To my mother.
To my father.
My grandparents.
Or any other human being.
Living or dead.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I renounce everything psychic or occultic.
I renounce every cult.
That denies the blood of Jesus.
I renounce every philosophy.
That denies the divinity of Jesus.
I call upon the Lord to set me free.
Lord, I have another confession to make.
I have not loved,
but I have resented certain people.
I call upon you, Lord, to help me forgive them.
I do now forgive.
This time, the Holy Spirit brings anybody to mind. Forgive them very quietly and ask God to bless them. Any person, living or dead, as an act of my will,
I forgive them.
And I ask for grace
to bring it to pass.
In Jesus' name.
I do now
forgive myself.
In Jesus' name.
I renounce every evil spirit
that torments me.
And I call upon the Lord
to set me free.
Dear Lord,
I confess
my sexual sin.
This time I want you to very quietly under your breath confess any sexual sin in the past.
If any husband and wife had intercourse before they were married, they need to confess it as a sin now. We will break their ungodly soul tie.
Lord, you say in your word,
1 John 1:9.
If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just
to forgive our sins
and cleanse us
from all unrighteousness.
Lord, I accept your cleansing.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I break
any ungodly soul ties.
With anyone
that I have ever had sex with
outside of the bounds of matrimony.
Anyone
who's ever dominated me
or controlled me
in any way
contrary
to the will of God.
I break the soul tie.
I cut them loose
and I release them
to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I ask the Lord
to bless them
and to bring them to salvation.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord,
for setting me free.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Everybody just take in a deep breath now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just come against now. We come against the spirit of rejection, Lord God. Come against the spirit of rejection. I come against the spirit of rejection in the name of Jesus. These are not rejected children. Your word says, in him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of your grace. These are God's children. They have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Their debts have been paid. Their sins have been forgiven. The mortgage has been paid in full. Rejection, I just bind you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go now in the name of Jesus. Tell it to go in the name of Jesus. Say, rejection, leave me. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. And I cast you out. I don't want you in my life. Now and forever. In the name of Jesus. Come on, rejection. Leave them now. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection. Rejection by mother. Rejection by father. Rejection by spouses. Rejection by children. Rejection by boss. By peers. In the name of Jesus. All rejection. Come out. All fear now. Fear of rejection. Fear of not being loved. Fear of not being wanted. All fear, come out in the name of Jesus. All fear. I speak to lust. I speak to the lust of the world now. The lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh. And the pride of life. I say, come out in the name of Jesus. All sexual lust, come out in the name of Jesus. All pornography spirits, come out. All lust, come out in the name of Jesus. All covetousness, come out. All lust and covetousness, come out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Push them out, folks, in the name of Jesus. All spirits of covetousness in the name of Jesus. All spirits of covetousness. All spirits of envy and pride, come out in the name of Jesus. All envying spirits, come out. All spirits of envy, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, all idolatry spirits, all covetous spirits, all idolatry spirits, come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. All lust, all sexual lust, all pornography, come out. All unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I command you to leave God's people. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus now. Out, 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 out in the name of Jesus. All pride, pride of life in the name of Jesus. Pride of accomplishment, pride of job. Come out, all pride in the name of Jesus. All pride, come out in the name of Jesus. All pride, all arrogance. Come out now. Out, 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 out. All stubbornness. All stubbornness. All unteachableness. All arrogance. Come out in the name of Jesus. All boasting. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come out. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, out in the name of Jesus. Out. All bondage. Bondage to the past. Bondage to witchcraft. Bondage to pornography. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bondage. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. All bondage. Bondage to sorcery. Bondage to drugs. Bondage to television. Bondage to television in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. All bondage. Bondage. Bondage to social position. Bondage to prestige. Bondage to pride. Bondage to job in the name of Jesus. Bondage to acclaim in the name of Jesus. Bondage to flattery. All bondage, come out in the name of Jesus. All bondage to drugs. All bondage to rock music in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All bondage. Bondage in the name of Jesus. All bondage to food. Bondage to eating. Obesity. Come out in the name of Jesus. All fear of starving to death in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of bulimia and anorexia. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of anorexia and bulimia. Bondage to vomiting. In the name of Jesus. Bondage to weight. Bondage to weight. Bondage to trimness. Bondage to slimness. All bondage, I bind you and command you to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. All bondage, come out.
All stubbornness, stubbornness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All jealousy, jealousy, all jealousy, all jealousy in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out. All jealousy and envy, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All jealousy and envy, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All jealousy, all paranoia, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All schizophrenia, come out, come out. I break the curse of mental heredity in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of mental illness in the name of Jesus. All mental illness, come out in the name of Jesus. All depression, come out in the name of Jesus. All heaviness, come out in the name of Jesus. All suicide, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All suicide, come out. All heaviness, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All disappointment, spirit of disappointment, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All hurt, come out. All deep hurt, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. All of you. These are God's children. You've got no right to them. You've got no right to them. They've been cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus has bought and paid for them. These are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Satan, you've got no right to them in the name of Jesus. I speak to all stubbornness now. I speak to the root of bitterness in the name of Jesus. All rebellion, all witchcraft. I speak to rebellion and witchcraft now in the name of Jesus. I speak to Jezebel. Jezebel, I bind you in the name of Jesus, you manipulating devil, you. I bind you, Jezebel. Jezebel, I break your authority in the name of Jesus. All Jezebel, all Mariology spirits in the name of Jesus. All Catholic spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All Catholic spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, Catholic spirits. Come out, Mariology, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, come out. Come out, all witchcraft, all black witchcraft, all white witchcraft, in the name of Jesus Christ. All healing spirits, come out. All witchcraft healing, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All psychic surgery, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose now. I break the charming spirit. Charming spirit, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All demonic skills, all spirits of demonic spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of meditation, all serpentine spirits, all spirits of yoga and serpentine, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of martial arts, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All IT spirits, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All Kundalini spirits. I bind you, Kundalini. I say, turn them loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose, Kundalini. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I speak to migraine headaches now. I speak the spirit of migraine headaches. You migraine headaches, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I stand high above all principality and power in every name that is named. I stand now at the foot of the throne of God and I speak to you in migraine headaches. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ and I say you turn God's people loose. All migraine headaches, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I loosen the hornets from heaven to come after you. I loosen the hornets of heaven to come after you and to drive you out. I loosen the spirits of fire and burning and destruction upon you, migraine. And I say, be gone and turn God's people loose in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now in the name of Jesus. Turn them loose in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against Jezebel. Jezebel, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I put the hornets of heaven on your tail in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say they'll sting you out in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose the hornets from heaven to come after you in the name of Jesus, Jezebel. And I say, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All Jezebel spirits, all Ahab spirits, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. I come after the spirits of infirmity. I come after all the spirits of infirmity now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come after spirits of high blood pressure in the name of Jesus. I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I say, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone, high blood pressure. I come after high blood pressure in the name of Jesus. I come after spirits of stomach ulcers and spastic colon and bladderspasm in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. And I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. I come after all chlamydia. I come against chlamydia, the spirit of chlamydia in the name of Jesus, the spirit of gonococcus in the name of Jesus Christ. I come after the spirit of trichomonas in the name of Jesus, in the spirit of cankeroid in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against you, warts. I come against all the spirits of warts in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you. And I say, be gone, spirits of infirmity. I speak healing and restoration now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the spastic colon, all spirits now of duodenitis in the name of Jesus Christ, pancreatitis, all spirits of epilepsy, all spirits of diabetes, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break your hold in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your hold in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I say, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. I break your hold in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of obesity now in the name of Jesus Christ. Bondage to eating, bondage to food in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against poor metabolism of fat in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits that would let that fat be metabolized. I break your authority in the name of Jesus. I break your authority and I say, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone in Jesus' name. I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, be gone. Be gone in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I speak healing and restitution now to God's people.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I come against the spirits of arthritis. All spirits of arthritis. Osteoporosis, aging of the bones. I come against the spirits of osteoporosis, aging of the bones in the name of Jesus. I bind arthritis and aging of the bones in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose now. Come against all aging of the bones and aging of the joints in the name of Jesus. I come against chondromalacia. And I bind it in the name of Jesus. And I say, be gone in the name of Jesus. All chondromalacia that affects the cartilage and the joints. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing and restitution. No longer shall they have dry bones. No longer shall they have dry joints. I speak healing to their joints. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against disc problems. I come against disc. Degenerating disc in the back. In the name of Jesus. I stand here and I speak healing and restitution to the disc of the back. In the name of Jesus. I bind the destroying spirit that would destroy the disc of the back. And I speak healing and restitution to the back now. Lord, heal them. Heal them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Heal them, Lord. Restore now, Lord. Lord, you said you'd restore what the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, and the locust has eaten. Restore them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I speak restitution in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, pour your spirit out. Pour out your spirit on all these people, Lord Jesus. Fill them now, Lord, with the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear of the Lord. Fill them, Lord, and float out all these loose demons now, Lord. Drive them out, Lord. Send the hornets in to drive out those that have been bound, that are resonant about coming out, Lord Jesus. Lord, I send in the hornets to drive them out as you drove out the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Lucites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Ammonites. Drive them out now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I loosen the spirits of fire and destruction upon those bound demons in the name of Jesus who don't want to leave. I destroy their hooks, Lord. We burn their hooks out in the name of Jesus, Lord. And drive them out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you and bless you and glorify you now. Let's all stand up and praise Him now. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Glory to you, Lord God. Glory to you, Lord God. Glory to you, Lord. Well, we come against that spirit of sorcery, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and drug addiction, in the name of Jesus, and drug dependence, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just thank you, Lord.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, 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 wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. The cross, here I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there I say, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.